You can see me carrying my Arabic Bible and my English Bible because, am I on? Because I do speak in Arabic overseas. And when I come here, I try my best to speak in English, but I'm just really happy to be with you tonight. And I just praise the Lord that He will bless us tonight. I would like first to tell you a little bit about myself, and then we'll dig a little bit in the Word of God. When I was 10 years old, I became a Christian. I was sent to a Christian boys' home, and then I accepted Christ because the home was a Christian home. And then when I finished high school, I went to the States and met my wife and got married and have two children. And God called me to go back, and I basically came to direct the very same home I grew up at when I was a boy. And I still been in that ministry of raising children, helping children for the last 38 years. Also, I'm a pastor of two churches, one in Ramallah, 10 miles north of Jerusalem, and another one near Ben-Gurion Airport. I do have a team that helps me. I don't do it all by myself. I have a wonderful team, and one of them is my youngest son and his family and his wife, and both of them are musicians, and I'm glad for that. And also, Dennis came and Mark to our, and Derek, I guess, too, to our church in Ramallah, and we are thankful for them, and we pray that we will be able to see some of you come to help in our summer camp, which will be in June, and then we can set the date as soon as we know some of you are coming. And we are really thankful for what God has been doing there. We have raised young men and women, some who are in the ministry, some of those women married to ministers who are in the ministry. At one time, we had 15 young people in different universities and in a Bible college, and many of them have graduated since and got married, and once in a while, we see them, and I'm thankful for that. I believe since we left there, we have about almost 15 ministers who are in the ministry today because we said, Lord, we will leave the United States and go back to the mission field and serve you there. I'm so thankful for what God is doing. And we are seeing in Romley Church, which is near Ben-Gurion Airport, God is helping us with also raising there a man who accepted Christ years ago in Ramallah and married a woman from the other church. And then he stayed there, and now he's assisting in our church part-time, and we are praising God for that. And another young man who's a musician was born in the church, and God has been blessing us. At the same time, we are working through the Messianic people and the Palestinian people and the international, and we try to gather them together, especially at Easter time at the Garden Tomb, and we're thankful for that. Also, we have been exchanging pastoral pulpits with the Messianic people, and we visit them, and they visit us in Ramleh because they cannot come to Ramallah. So we just thank you for that. Also, I teach in a Bible school north of Tel Aviv, and I'm really excited of what God is doing. So I'm really thankful that I obeyed God and went to the mission field. Little I knew when I said, Lord, in an Assemblies of God church, in an evening service, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be, and I'll say what you want me to say. And if I can bring one person to you, Lord, then I see my mission is accomplished. And I'm thankful over the years. We have seen hundreds of people come to Ramallah Church. We have seen many young people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen children. Right now, we have 91 child who are in our summer camp. And next week, as of tomorrow, will be another week that they will be there. This will be our third week. We are staying to serve those children for 28 days. We have a Bible study, we have singing, and I hope to show you some of this as some of the this week comes by, so you'll make a decision. Maybe you'll come and see how you are going to be blessed. And I'm really thankful that I'm here with you, and we can share with you what God is doing in that land. And if you weren't in our morning service, we do have a table there where you can pick prayer and brochures about the ministry that we are involved in the Holy Land. I would like you to speak from John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let me give you a little bit of background about John 15. You see, Jesus knew that he is going to the cross. And he start to tell the disciples what's going to happen. And we see in John chapter 14 that in verse 27, he's talking about leaving them with peace. Peace I leave unto you. And then he's talking about also that the world is not going to give you that peace. But he said, hey, I have to leave. And if I leave, I'm going to send to you the Comforter. So we can see that Jesus, on his way, he's talking with the disciples. You see, in John chapter 15, now he's on his way to the Valley of Kidron in Jerusalem. If you come to Jerusalem, there's a valley next to the temple or the Dome of the Rock that you go there, and as you walk, the Kidron Valley will be to your right. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about what's going to happen. And now he's giving them advices before he goes to the cross. And now we can see that in chapter 15 of John. And here is what he's saying in John 15. And I would like to speak about, you know, the conversation on the way to the cross. And it seems it's so important. It's just like when somebody wants to die and he gathers his family around, or the family will be gathering around him, and he is trying to give them the last advices. And I remember one of the stories that I read. A man before his death, he called his two sons. And he told one of the sons, sons, we shall meet together. But the other son was told, goodbye, son. But he didn't say, we will meet. So the son said, daddy, why you told my brother that you will meet him again? But you didn't say that to me. He said, son, your brother took the road that leads to heaven. But you took the other road that does not lead to heaven. That's why we can meet with your brother. And the brother then start to weep. Dad, what can I do? Father, what can I do? What can I do? And he said, accept Christ and we will meet together again. And that bed, the son accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Then the father said, excuse me, son, we shall meet again together. And this is some of the advices Jesus is telling us tonight in John chapter 15. And he's saying, I am the true vine, and my father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Can we have the first one, please? Can I have these lights off because I can see there? You know way? Okay, it's not working. Okay, but can I? Okay. This is. I can see it on that. Can I see it on that? Oh, it's not working together. Okay, here we go. John 15. This chapter is divided into three sections. Man's responsibility toward God from verse 1 to 11. Man's responsibility toward man, which is basically love one another, and I don't have time to go into it. And thirdly, the world will hate us and will hate the disciples from verse 18 to 27. So let's see our responsibility toward God from verse 1 to 11. Here we can see that Jesus saying, I am the vine. I am actually the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. And this is what we need to realize. We have to abide in Christ in order to bring fruit. This morning I spoke about that we have a Savior. And we have a friend and we have hope. You see, when Jesus is our Savior and he's our friend and we have hope, then we need to walk in the Christian walk by abiding in him. You see, it's not enough we take Christ as our Savior. We have to abide in him. And here is that Jesus Christ is talking with the disciples. And he's saying, I want you to realize these facts in these verses as he walks through the Valley of Kidron. Now, the Valley of Kidron, there are, at the time of Jesus, there were many, many vines. In fact, today, if you go to the Middle East and to Palestine, you will see vines all over. And the same thing, at the time of Jesus, there were, places, gardens, and many places of vines. And Jesus is taking the idea and the example of the vines to allow the disciples to understand what he's trying to say. So he's saying, every branch in me does not come with fruit. He will be, in other words, he will be lifted. Actually, the Greek word here is he will be lifted. In other words, Jesus saying to them, God has the right to prune you so you can bring more fruit. And he says, and every person that is not bringing fruit, he will clean him. In Arabic, yunaqi, in verse 2, and saying like this, for you granted him authority over all, 15, verse 2, it says here, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes or he purifies. And this is the idea sometimes when we go through hard times. Maybe we are not fruitful as we ought to be. And Christ will come, or the Father will come and say, it's about time. I need to do prunes. Now, if you come to the Middle East, you will find people pruned at the time of the springtime. And then they will prune them in February, in sometimes January. It depends on the year. So they can bring more fruit. So pruning will bring more fruit. And now in verse 3, it's very important to realize this. You are already clean. Why we are clean? Why we are saved? Why we are walking with God? And here is what is so important to know. Because of the word that I have spoken to you. In other words, the word of God makes us pure, makes us clean, makes us holy. And that's why we need to read the words of God. That's why we need to hide the words of God. That's why we need to memorize the words of God. It's very important if we want to continue pure as God wants us to be. Now in verse 4 talks about, and that is very important, remain in me. How are we going to remain in him? And here we go. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You see, can we see the other, some of the other pictures here, please? Here's some of the pictures of the vine. You see, in other words, the branch cannot live by itself. They have to be tied or stuck into and lived with the vine itself.
So the branch itself cannot bring any fruit without the vine. And it's very important to know that. So we need to abide in Christ and Christ in us. Because he continues and he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And it's so important. After we are saved, that we need to remain in Christ. You see, many people backslid. Many people leave Christ. I'll give you stories from the mission field. People were with us at the altar, weeping, crying, accepted Christ. But some years later on, where are you? Why you left? I'll tell you, because they did not abide in Christ. They did not remain in the Word of God. So far, we need to do that. And then in verse 5, we see more. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear fruit. You see, you have to be as a branch in the vine. If we don't, we cannot bear fruit at all. We cannot be. So the Bible here says, you have to abide in me, and then you can bring fruit. And something is very important in verse 5 says, because without me, you can do nothing. You see, the abiding in Christ is so important, so we can not just bear fruit, because we cannot do anything at all. So in Christ, we can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. We see that in the Epistle of Philippians. And that's what Christ is saying. Now he's talking to them before he's going to go to the cross, before he's going to die, before he's going to be resurrected. Because after the resurrection of 40 days, he's going to leave, and he's going to leave him alone. And now he's given this advice, and I'm giving you this advice because we need to remain in Christ so we can do all things. Now, verse 6 is very important. Look what it says. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Listen, friends. Anybody does not have fellowship with Christ and refuses Christ, refuses the gospel, the Bible tells us he will be dry. Because you see, the branch in the vine at one point will be dried so much that when the gardener comes and see the branch is dry because no fellowship, never accepted Christ, and now he's going to be cut off. You see, Christ is saying to all of us, come unto me. Come unto me. You can be saved. You can be mine. You can be my son, my daughter. But some of us, we are refusing and rejecting the call of God. Those people who are rejecting the call of God, rejecting salvation, rejecting what Christ did on the cross, I'll tell you, the Bible says, they will be cut and put in fire. That's what it says here. They will. Here is saying in verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch, thrown away, picked up, and thrown into the fire and burned. And I know there are so much different opinions on this, but let me tell you, the people who will reject the call of God, who reject salvation, eventually there is heaven and they will be cast out into heaven. And those who have accepted Christ and are remaining Christ, we will see it in verse 7. If you remain in me and my word, you see, remain in Christ and in his word. It's so important. Remain in you. Whatever you ask, you wish, and it will be given unto you. In other words, be abiding in Christ is the key for answering your prayers. Not anybody can ask God and God will help him. But we as Christians, as we are abiding in Christ, know the word of God, read the word of God, ponder on the word of God, whatever we ask shall be given to us. Wow, this is important. And then in verse 8 speaks about how we glorify the God, how we honor God. And he says, when we bring much fruit, and then you are my disciples. You see, and you can see some of this with another picture shared in here. Another one, please. The next one. No, there's one, abide and in Christ. Let me tell you two words, they are so important. Abide. Abide mentioned in the New Testament 112 times. 60 times in the Gospel of John and his three epistles. 8 times in John chapter 15. In Christ, mentioned in the New Testament 130 times. 15 times in the Gospel of John. You see, it's very important to realize that abiding in Christ, mentioned so many times because it's so important, it's the key to continue bringing fruit, and eventually we are pure that we can get and enter into the presence of God and realize that Christ is being honored and the Father is being honored as we are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and we are in Him. In verse 8, and listen what it says. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, if I want to open to Matthew chapter 3 about, you know, about hell and about that people will be cut off. Matthew chapter 3, listen to what it says. Matthew chapter 3. Verses 7 to 10. Listen to this. But when John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Imagine a preacher today will say this word to us. Maybe some congregation will vote him out. How do you call us this? Well, John the Baptist is saying this, and I'll tell you, these words are for today. It was written then, but it's for today. It says here, "Oh, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." You see, the Jews thought because Abraham is their father, they are going to heaven without any problems. No. He said, "Hey, don't think because you are the sons of Abraham, you are going to go to heaven." No. He said, "No way you can do that." Because he says, "We have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." You see, there's a time when people who will refuse Christ, don't want to read the Bible, don't want Christ, don't want to have fellowship with Him, don't want to be always fruitful and always hanging into the branch and have fellowship with the vine, that branch will be dried eventually, and because of his rejection, will be cut and will be sent to fire. And don't think because we are Christians, we are going to heaven. Just like the Jews, because they thought they are the sons of Abraham, they can go to heaven. No. We have to accept Christ. We have to accept Him as our Savior. We have to be washed by the blood of Jesus. And then here, we have to abide in Him. Let's go back into John 15, and let's see in verse 9. 9, it says here, listen to what it's saying. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Wow. Remaining in the love of Christ. God the Father loved me. The same love that He loved me, I'm loving you. It's the same way. Friends, the love of Christ, that Christ was loved by the Father, He's loving us with that love. Wow. If there is something missing in the world, it's really a true love. The love of the Father to the Son, and the love of the Son to us. And thank God, He's saying that love, He is doing it. But He continues, you say, in verse 10, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in His love." We have to obey the commands of God in the Bible. The Bible explains
There are, you know, promises for us, but there is condemnation for us. But also we need to remain in the promises of God and also in the commands of God. Then we will remain and united in His love. And He says, as I kept the commands of my Father, so you are need to do that. And now in the last verse 11, if we want to have a complete love, because a complete joy, hear what it is in verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How is my joy is going to be complete? I'll tell you. It's in verse 9 when he says, if you keep the Father's commands and you abide in His love, you will have the complete joy. Wow, it's wonderful, because the Bible tells us we need to obey the commands and we need to abide in Christ and in His love. And can we see some of the other pictures so we can see that? You see, there's a big difference between the person who is in Christ and the person who is a natural man. And we have references in some of the Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, but we don't have time to do that. But in Christ, you are free from the law, reconciled to God. Under the law, you are under the wrath of God, under condemnation. In Christ, filled with Christ, raised with Christ, saints without sin in heaven, waiting to meet our beloved ones. Incomplete in everything, dead in sin, slave to sin, to be sent to the pit, care for death. In the light of paradise with Christ always, in the darkness of the grave, far from God. And we can find these in these references. But we don't have time to go into all of these things. That's why we need to be in Christ. That's why we need to abide in Christ. And that's what Jesus told him before he goes into the cross. I'll tell you, let me just go into Romans 8:35. To 39 and conclude in that Romans 8, and I'm sure you all of you know these verses. Romans 8 verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is basically what Christ is telling the disciples before He is going to leave this earth. He's saying it's very important to abide in Me, in the vine. You are the branches. You cannot do anything with yourselves as branches. You got to do it through Me, through the vine. And then when you abide in Me and you obey the commands of the Father and you are remaining in the love of the Father, you become My disciples, and then you will have a complete joy. And the complete joy, I'll tell you, one of these days Christ is going to come and take those people who have been saved, accepted Christ, abide in Christ, and then we will be with Him for eternity. Friends, may the Lord help us to abide in Christ, because abiding in Christ will bring continual fruit. You see, some of these fruits, we have to do it through the local church. We have to do it through evangelism at home. We have to do it through evangelism and helping the mission, the people on the mission field. It's about time. We need to broaden our thinking about reaching the world of today. Over 3 billion people, they have not heard the gospel. We need to do whatever we can to allow the people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have heard it
over and over and over. But there are people have not heard it once in their lives. That's why mission is important. Mission is so close to the heart of God. May the Lord help us all so we can be missionary minded in these last days. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want to ask you this while we are bowing our heads and closing our eyes. Where are you in abiding with Christ? Where are you? Where are you? Do you need to abide in Christ? Just say a little prayer between yourself that only God can hear you. Say, Lord, help me to abide in you. I want to abide in you. I have accepted you in my life, but I have been lazy in reading your word, in being fruitful, in abiding in you, in having fellowship with you. Lord, help me to heed to what I heard tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing can separate us from his love if we abide in him. It's an incredible promise. And I think it's a challenge for all of us. Doesn't matter where we are. It's incredible. But perhaps you're feeling that you're not maybe abiding, or you're not abiding closely enough. God wants to take the next steps with you in that. So take one of the steps to staying in the vine tonight. The prayer team will be available. Get prayer for whatever's weighing on your heart. Doesn't matter what it is, but don't let it distract you from God's love, because the promise is there. Let's abide in him. Shall we stand? And let's worship God and just surrender to him now.